didn't move. I don't care who it is. Let's go. Give me everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time.
Dad, here we go.
Touchdown. You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right. Another week and another mini camp has come and gone as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 102. At the top of this week's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I chat with a few different people as we round out minicamp here at the NovaCare Complex. I caught up with four media members that were at practice each and every day throughout every stage of the offseason program that was open to the media to try and get a sense of some of the biggest takeaways from practice this spring. Who stood out? What young player should you be excited about? Who are you excited to see once the pads come on this summer? We'll find out all of that in today's show. Then we've got Scouting Report, where this week we break down one of my favorite picks in this year's group of the Eagles rookies and a player that I was really impressed with throughout the course of this spring. But before we get into that, let's not waste any more time. I polled four media members on some of the biggest takeaways from Eagles minicamp. Let's get to that chat now in Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
All right, again, so for Chalk Talk this week, I told you I polled four different media members that were at practice every single day. Two people that are here inside the building and two people from outside the building. Well, let's get to the first question I have for these guys, and that is first, who was the number one standout? We'll start with Jimmy Kempski from the Philly Voice. All right, so the first voice you're going to hear is Jimmy Kempski from Philly Voice. Jimmy, appreciate the time here on Chalk Talk on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. First question for all of you is, who stood out most? Who was the number one player that you come away from the spring thinking, that guy really impressed me?
Yeah, I'd say it was Jalen Mills. And we're going just based on expectations here heading into camp or heading into mini camp and OTAs and whatever. But I thought he looked very quietly confident as opposed to his more brash confidence that we've seen in the past. And I think the difference between what he looked like this year as opposed to last year is that he knows the defense now. So I think he was really looking more to make plays on the football and you know, create interceptions and turnovers as opposed to last year where I think he was, you know, while still looking confident, but just a second behind. But yeah, I mean, I think just in year two, he looks a lot more comfortable really across the board. And last year, of course, when he came in too, he had to answer a lot of questions about, you know, potential, you know, off the field stuff that he had in college. This year there's none of that, so I think it's really just more of a focus on football this year for him and you know, kind of knowing the defense, as I mentioned already, and just playing football.
All right, so the second voice you will hear will be that of the great Les Bowen. And Les, the first question for everybody is, who stood out most? Who was the number one player that you come away from the spring thinking, that guy really impressed me?
Boy, it's hard to pick one out, Fran. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey, just because I was really curious. Given the season he had last year, you know, what were we going to see? Were we going to see a guy who was sort of not a hard worker or something like that? But I thought his size stands out. His ability to control his body at the sideline stands out. His hands. There's a little bit of syncing up with Carson Wentz left to go, but I really think he's going to make a huge difference in that receiving core.
I feel like he didn't drop a ball that I saw all spring. And it also seemed like as the weeks went on that Carson, when things would break down and he would run out of the pocket, he always seemed to find Alshon. I guess that's a good thing to see this spring.
Yeah, it really is. And you could tell he was looking for him too. And that's the chemistry you want to develop. You know, that's the guy that you want him to be looking for, the big target, the guy who can get open. That was such a problem for the Eagles last season. When Carson would scramble, it would seem like receivers weren't coming back to the ball. Time and time again, there was nobody there. And I really think that will be different, maybe with more than one guy, but certainly with Alshon.
All right, so the third voice you're going to hear is going to be the sultry sounds of one Dave Spadaro, Eagles insider. Dave, the first question I'm asking everybody is, who was the number one player that impressed you most this spring?
I would wonder how many people agree with this, maybe everyone. Alshon Jeffrey, and it's because of just you see the impact of a big-time receiver in this offense. I got to be honest with you, I was not a huge Alshon Jeffrey fan from the little I saw when he played in Chicago. But here, the way he commands the space, the way he creates openings in the passing lanes for Carson Wentz, the confidence and the camaraderie chemistry that those two have developed, and understanding that the Eagles struggled so much in the red zone last year, I think that Alshon will be a huge impact player and already has been for this Philadelphia Eagles offense that lacked the punch last year.
It's funny, talking to some national people that came in, you know, once or twice throughout the course of the spring, a couple people said that it's almost like T.O. when he got here. But obviously, you know, you had all the different theatrics with T.O., and it was a much different situation with where the team was at that stage. Do you see similarities when you see them in person?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. I mean, there's the you know, physical dimensions of Alshon stand out, as did Terrell Owens when he was in uniform. And then there's also just the level of confidence that really raised the entire group back in 2004. There was one piece missing from that team offensively, and it was that go-to receiver. Well, obviously last year the Eagles did a lot of offense smoke and mirrors way. They formation variations, they matched up the personnel, they used their tight ends extremely creatively, they ran the football well at times, but they didn't have the big-time receiver. Alshon Jeffrey is that player, and yes, I agree with that comparison.
And finally, the last voice you're going to hear in this poll of people that have been out watching practice every single day throughout the spring, my good friend, co-host of the Journey to the Draft podcast, fellow content manager here with the Eagles, Chris McPherson. C-Mac, the question I have for you is, who is the biggest standout of all players you watched this spring in OTAs and minicamp?
Well, can I first just say that it's an honor to be on the Eagle Eye and the Sky podcast?
It's an honor not bestowed upon everybody.
All right, so biggest standout during the spring. Number one guy for me, wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey. He has proven to be the real deal to this point. He pretty much caught everything his way during the spring. We would watch the practices on the sidelines, and I'd be like, Fran, did you see him drop a ball at all? And Dave Spadaro caught up with Doug Peterson, and the head coach said that in the plays they've charted, two drops the entire spring. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. You know, the contested catch situations, him working the short passes and being able to turn those into big gains, everything the Eagles – we're looking for from him, they've gotten to this point. It'll be obviously one thing to see a carry into the season, but so far so good between the connection from Carson Wentz to Alshon Jeffrey.
Knowing what you knew about him going in, would you say that he has met or exceeded the expectation?
Ooh, I would say exceeded slightly, because you saw on the field what he could do and how dominant a receiver he could be. But he's coming off the down year. He had the suspension in Chicago. You were kind of wondering, would he get back to that elite level? Would he be inspired to reach that point? And it's not just the on the field, it's the off the field, the way he interacts with his teammates, the relationship he seems to have with Carson Wentz. From all of those different perspectives, I feel like that the Eagles have to be thrilled with what they've gotten to this point. He's someone who is soft-spoken and quiet during press conferences. He's not going to win the interview game at all, but he has an aggressiveness, a way that he just attacks the game. I still vividly remember the jump ball catch he made over Rasul Douglas. And then after he made the touchdown, he spiked it right in his face. And I was kind of like, you know, like I got pumped watching. I'm like, I understand spring, it's OTAs. But I was like, man, like this is what we wanted to see. So I hope he brings that competitive juice to the field this summer.
All right, so that's three votes for Alshon Jeffrey and one surprising vote for Jalen Mills. And Jalen did have a good spring. I was very impressed with him as well. I'm glad that Jimmy was able to throw him out there. But I would say that my biggest takeaway, I'll go off the board a little bit, I got to go with Carson Wentz. I mean, how could you not be impressed seeing him throw? I know a lot of people were making, making really kind of huge conclusions off of his completion percentage in practice and things like that. To me, that's craziness. I think you look at the way that he threw the football. He's gelling with an almost completely different receiving core. A lot of new faces here in Philadelphia this year with the two big free agents in Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. You got some of the rookies getting into the mix, some of the younger players as well that have been on the roster for a year or so getting thrown in with the ones and twos. I think that you saw Carson Wentz come in, you saw the quick release, you saw the accuracy, you saw a lot of deep balls, both on the move and from the pocket. You saw his ability to run with the football, not just, you know, kind of run around and make a play with like his a chicken with his head cut off, but make people miss in the quarterback run game and do some things there with the ball in his hands to create in the backfield. I thought that Carson Wentz had a really impressive spring. So if I'm going to go off the board, I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. All right, so my number two question: who was the player that kind of flew under the radar? Let's go back to Jimmy Kemski. Jimmy, who is a player that stood out to you most this spring that maybe isn't getting the love around the media that you would have expected?
Yeah, and this is just because he's done it before, but I'd say Zach Ertz. I thought he looked really strong in OTAs and minicamp, and that's nothing new. I mean, he's looked good during this portion of the offseason as well, but you look at what he's done the last couple years, he's really put together phenomenal numbers in the last quarter of the season the last 2 years, but suffered injuries early in the season 2 years ago, suffered a shoulder injury, I think that was a hernia. Last year he suffered a shoulder injury, broke a bone in there, and that hampered him in the early part of the season. So if he can put together the kind of numbers that he had in the second half of the season for an entire season, I think you're going to look at that as him as a guy that can kind of be one at the top, you know, top five or so tight end receiving options in the NFL. And he's off to a good start this year.
Yeah, and I think you look back to the tight end production we've seen from offenses with Doug Peterson and Frank Reich in the past, and obviously bodes well for Zach Ertz. All right, so the second question, Les, the player that stood out most that maybe isn't getting the love that you would have expected coming out of minicamp.
Well, you can go a couple ways there. One way would be Nelson Aguilar, just because his last season was so horrible. And, you know, he was a first-round pick, and I think a lot of people have just completely written him off. And you don't want to get too excited about spring work with no contact. But Nelson had a hell of a spring. I mean, he really did. And if this is for real, then Mike Groh was a great addition as wide receivers coach, because he seems to have rebuilt Nelson from the ground up. And we'll just see if it lasts.
Not only does he look quicker, not only was he catching, you know, he had his share of drops, but not only does he seem more confident at the catch point, but I also feel like he's carrying himself a little bit differently on the field and off the field too.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. He just seemed lost last year. It really got into his head. We don't know if he drops a pass in a preseason game, if this is all going to come back on him, But right now, yeah, he's a different guy. If you didn't know, several people said this during minicamp. If you just watched the receivers and didn't know who was who or anything about their history, you would think this guy was like right up there with Jeffrey as one of the top two receivers in the team.
All right, number two question for Dave Spadaro. Who is the number one player that stood out to you that maybe isn't getting the love in the media that you would have expected based off what you saw on the field?
I think Lane Johnson is ready to be a superstar, if that's possible, right tackle. Great athletic ability. I know he played a lot of left tackle in this camp. He's just so athletic, Fran. You know, he's taking care of his body. He's really committed to the game. He's learned, we hope, from his past mistakes. I just think Lane Johnson gives the Eagles a dimension that is really important, this offensive line. We saw the impact he had last year when he was gone. The Eagles were 2-8 when they were – with Lane Johnson, 5-1 as a starter at right tackle. I just think he's ready to be a superstar right tackle. Someday he'll be a left tackle, but right now he'll be the best right tackle in the game.
All right, question number two. We bring it back to C-Mac. C-Mac, the player that stood out to you most that maybe wasn't getting the kind of pub that you would have expected based off what you saw between the lines on the field here at the NovaCare Complex?
The guy who's going under the radar, I'm going to go to the defensive side of the football. I'm going to go with Tim Jernigan.
You stole it right from me.
Really? That's going to be your guy?
That's who I was.
See?
Like minds.
Maybe I'm learning a thing or two from you from all this time together. But I'm telling you, I actually spoke with him during the mini camp, and he said that he's never played in this style of defense. Going back to his days at Florida State, you know, going back to his time at Baltimore, has never been in a 4-3, one-gap attacking defense. And he's so quick and relentless off the ball, the offensive lineman couldn't block him at all. And I understand they got to put the pads on and all that, but to see the way that he would beat the offensive lineman, I just envision what that interior pass rush is going to be with Fletcher Cox this season. And the thing that stood out to me with Tim Jernigan is Jim Schwartz had some great quotes about him, about the aggressiveness, the attitude, what he's like behind the scenes. The thing that stood out to me was during the OTAs, he suffered the ankle sprain, came off the field, and I said, you know what, he's a veteran. He doesn't need any more spring workouts. He's shown he could play. He already, you know, did enough to that point. He can come back for the mandatory minicamp as long as he's healthy. He was back out there the next day or 2 days later and tearing it up again, showing no worse for wear as a result of the injury. So the fact that he's doing that in the spring, I think, forebodes well for what's going to happen this season. So I'm going to go with Tim Jernigan as my under-the-radar guy.
All right, so one vote for Zach Ertz, one for Nelson Agholor, one for Lane Johnson, and one for Timmy Jernigan. I'm a little upset that C-Mac stole that answer from me. But if I'm going to go off the board, a player that really impressed me that I thought should have gotten a little bit more publicity, I'm going to go with the cornerback Aaron Grimes, the CFL standout from a couple years ago. I thought he was really impressive throughout the summer last year. I thought that he had a really good shot to make the team before he got hurt in the third preseason game. Now, he got brought back to the team in the middle of the season. I think he did get some playing time late in the year, and he's been on the roster since then. This kid has done nothing but be around the football. Consistently, each and every time I wrote a practice write-up, I'm writing about some interception or some pass breakup that Aaron Grimes made at some point during team periods. I know on the last day of practice, I'm pretty sure he had three pass breakups on the last day of full scrimmage, and I was really, really impressed with Aaron Grimes throughout the course of the spring. Can he make an impact here and make a run at a corner job in a position that cornerback job is going to be really, really interesting to watch this summer? Can he make it as a potential player in the slot? I will be very interested to see how Aaron Grimes fares this summer. I would throw Jalen Mills in there as well as a player that really should have gotten more buzz. I mentioned that when Jimmy mentioned him as his number one standout from the spring. So let's get to the third question. What rookie stood out most? Going back to Jimmy. All right, so the third question, we're going to circle this back to Jimmy Kemsky. Jimmy, what rookie stood out to you in OTAs and minicamp?
The two positive guys would be Pumphrey and Rasul Douglas. I'll just focus on Rasul Douglas. There was some good and bad, but I thought there was a lot more good than bad. The one concern with him is going to be his long speed. He ran like a 5.458, something like that. You would know better than me, draft guy. But I know he was like the 18th percentile among corners competing at the combine since 1999. So, you know, the deep speed and being able to handle guys on the outside and go routes, and I think that's an area where he could struggle. And he did get beat. There was one play this week or last week where he got beat pretty badly by Marcus Johnson. So we saw a little bit of that. But what I really like about him and his game is he always knows where the football is. So he's a guy that I think is a very cerebral player. I think he's a guy that his instincts are excellent. And as he showed in his last season in college when he led the NCAA with interceptions with eight of them, he always knows where the football is, and he's always looking to make a play on the football. So he got a lot of hands-on passes. There's one OTA session where he broke up passes on three consecutive plays, which is kind of unheard of. But, so he's a guy that always kind of knows where the football is, always is looking for it, always looking to make a play on the ball.
You know, the one thing that stood out to me about Rasul was every time he did give up a play, it seemed like the very next time he took the field – he was able to make a play. So it was like it was almost like a tit-for-tat kind of thing. I know that Jim Schwartz talked about that last year with Jalen Mills. Was that something you saw as well?
Sure. Short memory, yeah. And that's what Jim Schwartz loves. I mean, he likes guys with confidence. And in the case of Rasul Douglas, I think he – I don't know if necessarily want to call him a gambler, but I would call him very aggressive. And I think that's the kind of style of cornerback that he's looking for, and he certainly has that in Mills and Douglas.
All right, so the third question for you, Les. What rookie stood out to you most? And it could go either way, good or bad.
There were two. I'll give you one good and one bad. Derek Barnett, even though there were no pads and there was no hitting, you could really see the thing everybody talked about in the draft previews where he could get low going around the corner on a tackle. He really showed tremendous quickness. And when you talked to him, Fran, there was this tremendous seriousness and focus that you don't always get from a rookie. He wasn't overwhelmed. He wasn't wide-eyed. He wasn't, you know, talking about how much the veterans, you know, were helping him. He was talking about specifics, about what he was trying to learn, what he was working on. You know, he just seemed like a much older guy than a kid coming out of college. The other guy, Shelton Gibson, I'll go the other way on. Shelton's having a hard time. The offense is much more complex. The wide receiver position is much more complex than what he dealt with at West Virginia. And I think he kind of let that get inside his head a lot. He dropped a lot of balls. He just didn't look ready. And he told me right before at the end of minicamp that he has a lot of work to do even to be ready for training camp and to compete with this group.
All right, so now the third question for Dave Spadaro. Who is the rookie that stood out to you most this spring?
I'm sure everybody said Derek Barnett, and I agree with that. Really quick off the edge. Everybody talks about the bend, and I don't know enough football to understand just how natural that is. But when every single person raves about the bend and the way he's able to create the angles to the quarterback and the way he's able to use his body, we saw the quick get off in these camps. The maturity that I saw from Derek Barnett at 20 years old, handling all of this draft hoopla, all of this media, all of the questions, you know, he didn't blink. And he came in here and he worked hard, didn't miss a day. Really impressive out on the field. I don't know if he'll start this year. I don't think it matters. He'll play a lot of quality reps, and he will really help this defense.
Third question here for C-Mac, the rookie that has stood out to you most this spring.
Tough one. I'm going to go third round, cornerback Rasul Douglas. You know, Troy Vincent was on your podcast, great interview, and he made the comparison to Bobby Taylor. And that was sort of like the easy answer. It's like, well, they drafted their, you know, Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor, their Lito, their Sheldon, getting Sidney Jones in the second round and Rasul Douglas in the third round. But this kid is all arms and legs. It's his length is just absolutely freaky. You see him out there, and you're thinking, is that a linebacker? He just has the length that's so impressive, and he loves the game. He's super competitive. You know, we've seen him get beat at times during the spring practices, but he would come back the next play or next series and, you know, break up a pass. It seems like it's very reminiscent of Jalen Mills a year ago where nothing seemed to affect him in a bad way. So the fact that he's being pushed as, you know, he's competing for a starting job on the outside with Jalen Mills and Patrick Robinson, but that length, those ball skills, yeah, to me it's quite impressive to see someone at that position come in and make the instant impact that he has. He's been very impressive. So I know a lot of people could also say Derek Barnett. He's been right up there as well. But I'm going to go Rasul Douglas as most impressive rookie.
So two votes for Derek Barnett, two votes for Rasul Douglas. I'll break the tie and go with Derek Barnett just because I was really, really intrigued to see him. And I thought really what stood out to me was early on, his first week of OTAs, you saw him start to work in. He couldn't work in the speed to power rush because of the lack of contact, but you saw him use his hands and be able to work an inside spin move. You saw the inside swim move as well. Him working on those counter moves this spring, I thought was really interesting to watch. I'm very excited to watch him when the pads come on, and that's going to be my next question. But before we get to that next question, let me talk about the rookie that stood out to me. Outside of those two guys, I'm going to go with Mac Hollins. You know, and you saw the guy very rarely dropped passes. He was the only receiver out there with no gloves on, which I love. But you saw him make an impact in special teams. He was in the first or second team in most special teams units, and you saw the effort there. But more importantly, you saw him go up and attack the football. I thought he looked smooth in drills. I thought he really impressed me as a route runner, and that was one of the areas that I wanted to see him improve on in his game. I thought he improved there. And then also, again, just going up and winning at the catch point. I thought he looked pretty consistent in that area throughout the course of the spring. I'm really excited about Mac Hollins and what he'll be in the future here in Philadelphia. Okay, last question now. Let's go to the player that we are all most excited about seeing this summer once the pads come on, going back to Jimmy. Jimmy Kemski, who is the number one player you're excited to see once the pads come on this summer?
Derek Barnett, hands down. And the reason why is, we could see his bend, his dip and bend around the edge, which is, of course, his kind of bread and butter move in college, and that's what enabled him to put up the sack numbers that he did. And you saw that in training camp, but what you don't see in training camp is being able to convert speed to power, you know, bull rushes and that kind of thing. And then also, I want to see how he's able to set the edge and play the run when they put the pads on, especially going up against guys like Jason Peters. He mostly squared off against Lane Johnson in OTAs and minicamp, which is certainly a big test for him as well. But when they put the pads on, it's going to be Derek Barnett versus JP, and I can't wait to watch that.
All right, so the final question for Les Bowe. And Les, what player are you most excited to see once the pads come on this summer?
Donnell Pumphrey, I think, is the guy I'm most intrigued to see, just because I've watched small running backs with the Eagles, and there have been several. And the ones that have been successful have had stocky, muscular builds. Brian Westbrook, Darren Sproles. Little guys who didn't have that, generally weren't able to do much. Reno Mahe, Lorenzo Booker, Chad Hall, you know, if you don't have that power base, it's really hard in the National Football League, A, to avoid getting killed, and B, to just be effective. You know, you can get arm tackled by a defensive lineman, so on and so forth. Everybody says that's not going to be a concern with Donnell Pumphrey. Certainly in these drills, he looks like lightning. I mean, his cuts, his acceleration, I mean, he looks like a guy that can really add a lot, but I want to see him get hit a bunch of times, frankly, and see how that goes.
A bunch of them, so I'll use that as a caveat. But I'll tell you this. I was going to say Donnell Pumphrey because I can't believe that a player that small, that slight, can make it in the NFL. And I just keep thinking of Lorenzo Booker back in the day when he looked so great in the spring and then, you know, the pads went on. And I remember one of the personnel people saying, I went up to him and I said, what's wrong with Lorenzo Booker? And he blew into his hand like this. And it means you can blow him over and knock him to the ground. I don't think that's the case with Donnell, but we'll see. But I'm going to go with the other side of the spectrum here, the smallest running back to the largest running back. Have never seen a running back as large as LeGarrette Blount. The Eagles have had, in my days, the kind of power dimension that he brings to the table. I want to see that, particularly in those 3 days of physical tackling that Doug will open up and have live tackling in the practices. I want to see the power, the brute force of LeGarrette Blount. And I want to see how the defense reacts to 250 pounds running downhill.
This is tough to have to pick one guy. So I'm not going to cheat and be like, and just give you a laundry list of names. The guy, and I'm going to stick with the rookies, is Derek Barnett. All right? He's a guy who flashed with tremendous quickness off the edge, you know, showed the ability to produce some counter moves. Someone who caught the coach's eyes. The players in the locker room have raved about him, the way that he's approached the game. He's asking the right questions, the way he's just mixing in that defensive line room. To this point, everything's looked good in, you know, shorts and T-shirts, but you got to see what the pads on, okay? What's it going to be like going against Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, you know, at that left tackle position once the pads go on? So Derek Barnett is someone who I think can come in and have an immediate role for this defense in 2017. You know, it's a very good defensive end rotation right now with Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry, Chris Long. You know, still got Stephen Means. You know, Marcus Smith came back for the mini camp. But Derek Barnett's going to have a role for this football team this year. And how much of a role is going to be dependent on what he does in training camp. So I'm going to say Derek Barnett is a guy I can't wait to watch. I know it's a little unfair sort of to put that on a rookie, but and some guys might want to say, you know, they want to see some of the skill position guys because, you know, they're more exciting. But I'm telling you, those one-on-ones, O-line, D-line, are going to be a lot of fun this summer in training camp.
All right, so there's a number of different ways I can go to round this out, and I could talk about the O-line battle, which I am really anxious to see this summer, but we're going to talk a lot about the offensive line group next week. I'm going to have Ross Tucker on, my good buddy, former NFL offensive lineman who played for every team in the NFC East but the Eagles. We're going to talk about Jason Peters and the whole offensive line next week, so I won't dig too much into that. I don't want to spoil that. I am really excited to see Elijah Qualls because we didn't see too much of him this spring, so I'm excited to see him this summer. But I would say that my number one decision here, my number one pick for this topic would be Timmy Jernigan. And C-Mac mentioned all the reasons why in a couple topics ago. At times this spring, Timmy Jernigan was unblockable. I mean, you see him win with his first step. You saw him win with his hands in a number of different ways. He was beating offensive linemen left and right throughout the course of the spring. So now once everybody gets the pads on, not just in games in the preseason, but also in practice and one-on-ones, I want to see Timmy Jernigan carry that over. He talked about how he had never played in a scheme like this. I'm excited to see him really play in a scheme like this once the pads come on, once there's contact, once we get into those full contact days. I'm really excited to see how he will look next to Fletcher Cox, in between guys like Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry and Chris Long and the rest of this Eagles defensive line. I think if Timmy Jernigan can take the play that we saw this spring and carry that over to the field this fall, I think that spells big things for this Eagles offensive line, or this Eagles defensive line, excuse me. I think this spells really big things for this Eagles defensive line. So really excited to see Timmy Jernigan this summer when the pads come on. That'll wrap it up here in Chalk Talk. Great stuff from Jimmy Kemsky, Les Bowen, Dave Spadaro, and Chris McPherson. And you can follow all of them just like I do on Twitter. And while you're at it, I'm at FDuffy3. That's where I post all of the podcasts I'm a part of and all of our X's and O's content that we produce here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And you know I greatly appreciate everybody that promotes this podcast on social media. That is one way to support the show, but the other is to go on to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, give us a rating, and even leave us a comment. I wanted to give a shout-out to two people. One, Go_Eagles5420, who left a great comment and rated the show, but also to three Eagles fan who rated the show and left a good question. They wanted to know if I've seen anything different in Carson Wentz's mechanics this spring, and if so, what are the differences? So that's been a big topic, obviously, throughout the course of this offseason, leading back from the back end of last year. And here's my feeling on the upper body mechanics and the lower body mechanics of a quarterback. They are important. Obviously, on any given play, you can look at a player's mechanics, especially in the lower body, and say whether or not that led to success on any given play. What I will say about upper body mechanics, however, you know, in terms of a quarterback's release, to me, I'm more worried about the end result. Is the arm action there? Does the ball still come out quick? Even if he does drop it a little bit, even if there is a little bit of a hitch, that's not the case with Carson Wentz, but with other quarterbacks that we've seen, if a quarterback is able to throw with anticipation, if he still has that quick arm action, which Carson Wentz absolutely does, then you know what? How the ball comes out doesn't necessarily matter. I've looked back and I've seen lots of quarterbacks going back to Steve Young, and obviously we talked about Phillip Rivers and his awkward delivery. There were a lot of quarterbacks, great quarterbacks. Brett Favre's mechanics were always a little bit wonky at times, especially when he was throwing from the pocket. There was lots of quarterbacks that everything wasn't always pretty from the waist up, but they always were able to achieve good results. So overall, I think it's a little bit overplayed. But, yeah, you definitely saw that quick release throughout the course of the spring here from Carson Wentz. All right, so great stuff there from _Eagles5420 from three Eagles fan and all of you out there for your continued support of this show and all the rest of our podcast offerings on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. So two of the people I polled in Chalk Talk mentioned Rasul Douglas as the most impressive rookie that they saw this spring here in Philly, and for good reason. He's flashing a number of different ways. I remember the last episode of this podcast, former Eagles great Troy Vincent mentioned that he reminded him a bit of his former teammate, Bobby Taylor. C-Mac mentioned that in Chalk Talk. Well, we talked a lot about Douglas throughout the early part of this offseason on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. Let's take a look back at the handful of times we talked about Rasul before he was made an Eagle. When you look at Rasul Douglas, he's a straight press corner to me all the way. 6'2", 203 pounds, really excels at the line of scrimmage. But you're talking about a guy who is actually from the area. He's from East Orange, New Jersey, up in North Jersey, but really excels in press coverage. What's interesting, though, is that they had him playing a lot of off, so you got to see him a little bit out of position, if you will, in terms of playing balls in front of him. He's not an explosive athlete, and like his former teammate, Daryl Worley, who was a mid-round pick of the Carolina Panthers last year, his ball skills, sometimes they look great, and sometimes he looks a little lost downfield. So I'm really excited to see Douglas in one-on-one drills down there in Mobile.
And your thoughts overall on the talented defensive backs who were there at the Senior Bowl, because that's a position that a lot of Eagles fans are interested in this offseason.
Rasul Douglas is a bigger corner that can play into the boundary. He was a one-year starter at West Virginia, but he led the country in interceptions with 8. And I tell you, he's a guy that can get up in people's face, press, and then he's got the straight line speed to run downfield. So there's some variety in this cornerback class this year. And, you know, if the Eagles don't take one in the first round, there's going to be some other potential candidates in the second and third rounds that, you know, can get on the field and play next year.
Yeah, and at the cornerback position, a guy that I think will stand out, a guy who's kind of been under the radar at cornerback, and that's Rasul Douglas out of West Virginia, another guy that we saw down in Mobile. He's got tremendous size for a cornerback, 6'2", 204, 32 and 1/8 inch arm. So he's got the size, he's got the measurables, and I think he could go out in the drills and really help himself here in Indianapolis. Really excited to watch him.
Six players who will be day one starters for their respective NFL teams, but who will not be selected in the first round, because we could just say, well, Myles Garrett and Jonathan Allen, you know, we can go with the top guys and we'll come up with the first six picks of the NFL draft and say, all right, you know, easy enough game. Got to make it a little bit challenging for ourselves. So we wanted to find guys who are not going to be selected in the first round.
Well, a guy who I really like a lot here, and I'm staying on the defensive side of the ball, is Rasul Douglas, the cornerback from West Virginia, mainly because of his size. 6'2", 209 pounds. He's got 32 3/8-inch arms. So he's got the size that some defensive coordinators are going to look at and say, we need that. We want that taller, more physical corner. I think he can step in from day one. Not really a quick twitch. He's a little slow out of his stance. A lot of that has to go with his height. But I just think that he's got both the size and the mentality. I think if you talk to Jim Schwartz, he always mentions about how he wants his cornerbacks to be a little feisty, have that competitiveness. And I think Rasul Douglas has that. And I think he's a starter from day one in the NFL.
Here now with West Virginia cornerback Rasul Douglas. Rasul, for those who have yet to see you play, can you give us a quick scouting report?
Just a physical, aggressive ball. Yeah.
So talk about the ball hawk. So those ball skills. Are those natural, or is that something you had to improve on throughout your career?
I still work on them from time to time, a lot of but playing receiver in high school and always playing receiver, just when I'm playing around after practice, I always keep my ball skills good.
One of the things that I saw when I watched you play, a lot of similarities to Darrell Worley, who was a mid-round pick, obviously had a big impact on the Carolina Panthers this year. How do you compare yourself to him, and what has your relationship been like with him going to the NFL? Have you gotten advice from him throughout the process?
I don't compare myself to anyone. Everyone steps in life are different, so I don't compare myself to him, but I still talk to him. He's still one of my big brothers. He always FaceTime me, ask me how I'm doing, and I ask him a lot of questions because he played in the NFL and he knows what it's like and what it takes. So I always pick his ear and just try to find out things that I don't know that he knows since he played in the league.
It's interesting that whenever we talk to players down at this event, they talk about some of the mental things that people don't really think about going into the league. Has there been one thing from a mental side that you know you need to really hone in on moving into the NFL?
Just a winning state mind, I guess. Just always knowing that you're the best and you're a winner. You just got to have a mindset of just dominance and competition. I would think that's the biggest thing.
It seems like you're very, very competitive and confident, and that's one area that I think at the cornerback position, very, very important. Is there another trait that you think is really, really important to play cornerback at the NFL level?
Memory. I would say memory is kind of one of the biggest things because I know still sometimes today, like if I get beat, or like someone catches a pass on me that I should have been there, I get mad at myself. And I just think about it too long. And as a corner, you got to be able to just wipe it away and say, oh, it's next play. I can make it again.
What's one area after hearing back from feedback from scouts that you know you definitely want to improve on moving to the league?
Everything. I think there's always room to improve as a player. There's always room. And you want to keep it room. You're never going to reach where everything is just the greatest. You know what I mean? So there's always everything I want to improve on, everything.
All right, Rasul, appreciate the time. Best of luck throughout the process.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, let's keep this show going. I told you earlier that I would get to my notes on one of my favorite players from this Eagles rookie class, and that player is Mac Hollins. Let's get to that player now in our scouting report.
Dim those lights. We're headed to the film room for the scouting report.
All right, so scouting report on Mac Hollins, 6'4", even, 221 pounds. I watched him last summer. So after his junior season, he was a third-team All-ACC pick that year, led the country with 24.8 yards per catch, a crazy number, especially for a guy that size. A former walk-on earlier in his career, he went to prep school at Fork Union Military Academy in 2011 just to raise his recruiting profile. Why is that notable? Former Eagles wide receiver Mike Quick also went to Fork Union Military Academy coming out of high school. Now, Mac Hollins is a 1.5-year starter in head coach Larry Fedora's shotgun spread offense. There's a lot of air raid principles this past year in that offense, lined up primarily to the far left of the formation, but he did see some reps on the right side as well as from the slot. But for the most part, he lined up on the far left. So that means that he's going to have a little bit of a transition when running routes from other areas of the field. But a long strider in space. You know, he's got deceptive speed to get on top of DBs. He was the number one vertical threat in that passing game. He ran a full route tree in college, so that was good to see. The fact that even though he was only running it from one spot, he did run a full route tree from that system. He didn't do it consistently, but he did flash the ability to separate at the top of his stem. He does a pretty good job on double moves. He's not where he needs to be yet, but I had faith watching him that he will improve greatly as a route runner. Like I said, he was their biggest deep threat whenever he was on the field the last two seasons. He made a ton of plays on vertical routes, and he did a really good job tracking the deep ball downfield. He's got what I like to call late eyes, and he doesn't tip the corner when he looks back to find the football. He can peek through his eyelids and track the ball over his shoulder. Only had two uncontested drops in two seasons that I saw at North Carolina. Made some really tough catches away from his body, some more in traffic. Saw more of an ability to go up and attack the football in the air in contested situations this past season. So he really stepped his game up in those jump ball scenarios this past year. I didn't think that he would ever be a true weapon on jump balls, but I think he's solid there in terms of his transition to the NFL. I thought he was solid after the catch. He wins more with effort than anything else, but I thought he was solid with the ball in his hands, and he gives good effort as a blocker. He's got the size to do it. You can see that he likes the physical part of the game, which makes sense considering his special teams background. He was a standout since his true freshman year there for the Tar Heels. Now, for their negatives, he does have his go-to release moves at the line of scrimmage, but he can improve against press coverage. He would fall step at times against off, a little nitpicky stuff that I point out at times with receivers. It's very common to see from the college level. A little bit of a linear athlete. I don't know if he's not that lateral, shifty, quick guy that you're going to see running in the slot, and that will show up at times at the top of routes. And again, I mentioned that he will need to learn how to run routes from all over the field. I did like that he ran that expansive route tree, but he will need to get a little bit better at the top of his stem. And this was a stat I got from NFL.com. I thought this was really interesting. He never played more than 50% of the offensive snaps in a season for North Carolina. Now, keep in mind, missed a large chunk of last season with that collarbone injury, and also played in a big rotation earlier in his career with the Tar Heels. They were rotating receivers in and out. A lot of players got drafted from that receiving core in the last 2-3 years. Now, I didn't think that Mac Hollins was necessarily going to be a number one threat coming out of college, but I thought he was a lock to stick in the league because of his abilities on special teams and as a blocker. He's a big kid that can run, and he flashes really strong ball skills in the hands, and I think that he can fit right away as a number four receiver with room to grow and a potential number two target on the outside if he can improve as a route runner. I feel really good about his ability to make it in the NFL. So that's how I feel about Mac Hollins, a player that I was really excited about when the Eagles made him a selection in the fourth round. Great stuff this episode from Jimmy Kempsky, Les Bowen, Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson, and all of you out there listening, whether you're on Apple Podcasts or your Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, and of course on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app. Thank you. And again, if you get the time, rate the show, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. Don't be afraid to leave a question on there too, because I would love the ability to answer it here on the podcast. If there's ever anything specific that you want me to hit on in depth, I will absolutely take requests from all of you out there. So wherever you listen, just go shoot us a comment wherever you listen to the show. All that being said, I think that'll do it. Another show in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. For everybody here at the NovaCare Complex, I'm Fran Duffy. We will talk to you next week.